What is up, everybody? I'm Scythe.
I'm Gina.
And thank you for tuning in to another episode, episode 19 of the Interracial Odd Couple podcast. You could find us on our social medias in our descriptions. What's been going on, woman?
I don't know. Lots of things, I guess.
Yep, lots of things. Hopefully everybody's out there achieving their goals, spreading some positivity amidst of a lot of the negativity. Stuff going on out here in the world. Man.
This is negativity.
There's a whole lot of stuff going on. Mm-mm-mm. Yep. So what's been going on with you, woman?
Are we talking about grandparents?
I don't care.
The update there. Well, I guess I should tell everybody that I did give up on one of my grandfathers.
Guess which one if you've been listening.
I gave up on Papa.
It's over, motherfucker.
Yeah, it is over. I was done. A couple weeks ago, the facility called me, and of course, they people love to just start yelling at you before they even talk to you. So they wanted his bank account. Well, you know, you want his bank account, then you go to him, get his bank account from him. I'm not giving it because I'm not. It's not my mind to give.
Right.
So if you want to help me get him on Medicaid, like I've been screaming for months and months and months for help on, then
that is documented.
I'll talk to you, but yeah. I'm not going to hand over somebody else's bank account. So you can talk to him. So of course they turn me into adult services again, because I won't give them his bank account. So then she calls me and she's like, "Oh, Jaina, you remember me?" So,
yeah, you should just see the expression she made saying that.
Mind you, I record everything.
Yep.
Just
all conversations.
I record everything. So obviously this woman didn't remember me. So she starts yelling at me about his bank account now. And even though I explained to her the first time about his entire bank account from beginning of me, you know, coming into the picture. Would you stop it? From me coming into the picture till now. And I told her everything. I told her the girl that was taking the money. I told her, you know, the bank said, you know, no more. So we're not giving you, you know, a debit card. So I have an ATM card. You know, I've told her all this.
Right. Well, after getting robbed by meth head bitch and all kind of shit.
And I told her, I said, you know, I have every receipt, you know, I mean, well, I have 90% of the receipts because, you know.
That's more than what most people could say anyway.
Right. Well, you know, sometimes
I don't keep receipts.
Sometimes the receipt, they put the receipt in the bag and then the bag gets taken to Papa. So, you know, I don't get the receipt.
Right.
So I have most all the receipts of everything that I've gotten him. So
they still want to accuse you of stealing all his money.
So the woman accused
money.
Me of stealing the money, and that I went off. I said, "You know what? I said, I am done. I said, you can have that man. I am done. I am calling the lawyer right now." And I hung up on her.
Yep.
And I called the lawyer. I said,
because he had the nerve to try to even say, "Well, if you just help us with more information, then we can help you get the Medicaid pushed through." And you was like, "Bitch, you done had your chances already."
I said, "No way. I did everything. I did everything that every single person told me to do, whether right or wrong." I did it.
See, and it just don't have the same effect when you hang up on somebody, too. Normally, I mean, we have to push the button now.
Yeah,
remember the old school
fun.
Days when you just slam the motherfucking phone?
Makes it sound so great. And it's just like,
Yeah.
So, called the lawyer, got the letter, or got the thing to file for me to
be done with the DPA.
Yeah. So, got that, mailed it off, and then he mails it back. Says, "You have to have it signed, or you have to have it done and notarized." I'm like, "Well, why didn't you say that in the goddamn letter, you idiot?" You just said, "Sign it and send it back." Okay, I'm going to sign it and send it back.
Right.
And I'm going to do what you tell me to do. If anybody that knows me, if you tell me something, I'm going to do exactly what you tell me. So if you're just half-assed and telling me, that's your own fault because I'm going to do what you tell me to do.
It depends on the subject matter. It depends because in other instances, you get told to do something by me, for example, your black king, and you do the opposite.
Yeah, I'll go overboard. Do it my own way. Yeah. But if it's something, you know, that I don't know anything about, then I'm going to do it exactly what you tell me to do.
The way you explain it, right.
So, yeah. So I finally got it, found a notary and got it done and sent back and haven't answered the phone call from him. And so then brings me to Poppy. I haven't said anything to anybody. I really didn't, you know, want to. Yeah, for one, I felt like a fucking failure. I'm like, you fucking dumbass.
You couldn't even handle
something so simple. No, you know,
you've done everything you could, and I've even told you other people have had similar experiences of going through this stuff too, and how it stresses them out and breaks you down. It's a pain in the ass.
Well, I could have handled that part of the stress. I couldn't handle that stress, Papa's stress, all this other ignorant shit in the process that should have never even took place. And I'm like, none of this shit. I mean, the shit
nobody knew what the hell they were talking about through this whole process.
It was just like the incompetence of people are just baffling.
Yep.
It's just like, that's your profession.
Right.
You chose that profession and you can't even fucking fulfill it. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Welcome to most people on jobs.
I mean, even down to like the insurance agent. I mean, it took me so long to even get the paperwork to take to him because I knew if I just went to him and said, this is what I need, he would have fucked it up. So I'm like, okay, I need something that states what I really need done. So I took that to him and here he fucks it up still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how hard is it? I need a paid up policy. That was the first and foremost thing.
For the life insurance policy.
Right?
Yeah.
He completes all of it, but doesn't do that.
Like an idiot. And that's the main thing that needed to be done.
Right. And after that, once everything else is done, it's out of my hands. Right. I can't even touch it. I can't sign it. I can't do nothing. And it's the funeral homes now. And I'm like, you are a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, my God, incompetent. Mm-mm.
Yeah,
and
that was right after.
Dude's been in this for like 50 fucking years. Yeah, how do you not know
and that was
your
after
own
you,
fucking insurance?
After you banged the phone on him too.
Yes, I did.
Click.
I was like, Jesus. Well, you're going to have to call the
funeral home.
And, what, me? You fucked up, dude.
Right. What do I look like calling him? And you send it over there and all this bullshit. Like, it's just. And even that day, I went on ahead and put my foot down and said, you know what? It's time. It's done. We can't keep doing this. We can't keep dealing with this, especially if people aren't fulfilling their obligations and their duties on getting this shit done, and they keep making it incumbent upon the person that's your fucking profession. Mm-hmm. We're done. We're just done with it. And on top of that, your papa didn't make it any easier because he's been fighting this whole thing at the same time behind the scenes.
Yeah,
because
he's like, they said I can live on my own. I don't need this.
And I'm going to do this. I'm going to call this person. I'm going to do that.
He's been working on the back end to
sabotaging
screw me
himself.
Over.
Yeah, sabotaging himself.
And himself over. Yeah. So I'm like, I can't fix your fuck-ups, dude. Yeah. Not over and over and over again. I can't.
No.
Tina, did I do wrong? Yeah, you did, you fuck.
And now it's over.
So
which leads to Poppy.
Yeah, leads to Poppy. Poppy finally asked, where's your gym? I said, Poppy, I don't know, because I gave up on him, and I don't talk to him no more, and I completely got out of that situation, because it was really, really bad.
Yeah.
So here his hand goes up in the air, and just smacks my arm, and just keeps smacking me, and he says, don't you give up on me! I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I won't, I promise. You're kind of easy. I can handle you.
The only thing he's going to need your help with is when he gets his divorce filed.
I know. I'll have to move in.
I'll come visit you.
I just died laughing. I was like, oh my God, I'm not.
Yeah, man. He didn't care. He was like, long as you ain't giving up on me, I don't give a fuck. He acted like the side dude. Like a side dude in the relationship. Well, sorry, that shit's all fucked up over there with your nigga, but...
I got you.
I still, my keys still work, right?
He does. He's like, who's going to take care of you? Like, Poppy, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. He's so worried.
Yeah. You tell him I take care of you. It's all right. I'll be looking out for you best I can, as much as everything has been.
He was saying something about money, and he's like,
you want to give us some? Cool.
It was funny. He's like, Nana's like, she makes a little bit with Bob, and we give her a little bit here and there. So don't worry about it. He says, I was like, Poppy, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I said, you never know. Every once in a while, I'll get lots and lots of money that come in, and I don't even know why. And it's so great. He said, oh, my God, tell me the next time. I said, okay, I will. We'll go celebrate.
Yeah.
He says, okay.
Right there to the kitchen. Your ass ain't going nowhere.
He's so funny.
He does crack me up. He's a funny dude, man.
He is funny.
He keeps you on your toes, too.
He does. He does. All the time.
What did he get mad about the other day? He said he was tired of shitting, so he wants to...
Yeah. Yeah, he was tired of shitting. He's like, he told Nano that he shit every day the past 3 days. And she's like, well, Regina hasn't said anything, so I don't know if you're accurate. He says, God damn it, I know when I shit. And I'm like, Nano, he's not accurate. Yeah. I know when he shit.
I don't understand why he's complaining about it anyway. Shit, it ain't like he got to do anything. Right. All he got to do is turn over.
So,
thanks, granddaughter.
He's like, I don't want that stuff to make me go. Now it's like, that's all I have is stuff to make you go. He says, I don't want that. Mm. I want the stuff to make me stop. Now it's like, well, I ain't got any. We'll pick some up.
Yeah.
So yeah, he doesn't want to shit no more. Which is funny because he's not shitting every day. It's like every other day or every couple days. And he wants to go back to his routine that he thinks he had, which was once every 3 days or something like that. And I'm like, I don't know. I've never seen every 3 days. So I would like that.
Every too, 3 days.
But I don't think, when did he ever have every 3 days? And Nana's like, I don't know.
I have a shit every 3 days ever in my life.
My 20s was up once with a week. That shit?
I don't understand people. Like, how the hell are you not shitting? Like, you should be shitting at least once a day, man.
I don't know. Strange.
And that's eating healthy.
So yeah, he's not happy about the shitting. He's not happy about not getting to have his demands met.
And what are these demands?
Food choices that he wants. Yep. Like yesterday, I guess my uncle brings lunch. What is it? Every Wednesdays, my uncle brings lunch. And so he was so excited. He comes in there and he's like, 1, 2, 3, Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, get right on.
Yeah.
Nana's like, what? He's like, it's Saturday. Nana's like, no. I was like, Poppy, you just fucked that up.
Yeah.
I was like, now you're not going to get shit. Yeah. He's like, no, it's 1, 2, 3. It's 1, 2, 3. And I'm just yelling it over and over again. And
he's Nana's a stroke like, victim. That's why he speaks that way.
So Nana, he starts pointing at Nana. So Nana gets up and grabs his little finger. So he's like, what in the world are you saying? He says, I'm not eating your breakfast.
And that was right after she got mad when she grabbed his finger. Talking about, oh, don't you point your finger at me.
And she says, yes, you are. He says, no, I'm waiting for Bob, Deb, one. I'm waiting.
One of them damn kids.
She says,
oh. Parents know how they go.
Oh, no. Bob's not coming today. He said he's going to come Friday instead. Oh, he was so upset. He's like, no.
He didn't want none of your grandma cooking.
That's what he said. So I'm going to fix your breakfast. So I show up later at 5. And guess who came and brought something and he didn't get to eat it because he was already full. No. he was pissed.
And ate it for dinner.
So as soon as he pulled up at the table for dinner, he's like, I get my chicken. I'm hungry.
Eat that motherfucker. Nuke it.
His appetite is like ding, coming back. Like with a vengeance.
Yeah.
So he was excited to get his eat his chicken, but was mad that he didn't get to eat it when it was
fresh. Yeah. Yeah.
And then
fresh out
like,
the grease. Shit.
And when I got there, she's like, yeah, so Bob showed up about 5 minutes after he got done eating. I was like, oh no. She said, yep. I was like, oh no. I said, that's so crappy. She said, well, I thought he said he was coming Friday, so I didn't think he was going to come today.
Well, he was wrong. She was right. Or he was right. She was wrong.
Yep.
Oh, well. Like I said, nuke it.
Yep. So, but he got it for dinner, so he's okay.
What does she end up making?
Oh, she always makes some oatmeal. And he wonders why he shits a lot, so.
Yeah, high in fiber.
Right.
A lot of Quaker oats.
I said, well, you do understand that is fiber, right? She said, I know. Okay.
Keeping his system cleaned out.
Alrighty.
Oh, shit. Well, have you been enjoying the metal not in your face?
The first two days were amazing. Mm-hmm. I was so ecstatic.
Wait for it.
And then they put these fucking things in called retainers.
Yeah, the clear ones.
It's fucking motherfucker.
They're kind of like Invisaligns.
Those fucking things are horrible. I don't even know why. I don't like them. I hate them. They kill my mouth. They put these one sets in that they didn't fit, but he made them fit. So obviously that
sounds
hurts.
Painful already. Yeah.
So I had to wear those for a whole week until my new ones came in. And then these ones are even fucking tighter and horrible. He said, these ones should fit better. No.
So, you've been enjoying it.
He's like, just give him about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got to go through fucking pain for 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Great, thanks.
Hey, that's better than what you've been dealing with for the last 2.5 years and COVID-19 stretched out when you were supposed to get them removed in the first place even longer.
I know. But I'd rather just have them off than just...
Like things just go back to normal?
Right.
My poor baby.
I don't know. Those things really hurt. They kill my head. Yeah. Kill my face.
I know, baby. I'm sorry for you.
I know.
Kind of.
Mm-mm.
You know I care, babe.
I know.
Hell yeah, that sucks.
It does.
Because I need some sucking action.
Well, those things come out. What the fuck? But like they're glued in my mouth.
Get your jawline exercised all over again.
Right, and that needs to open up.
But then again, you know, some fellas might like it a little tight. You know what I'm saying? Might like it a little tight up in there. Just saying.
I don't know. Actually, I mean, you put those in, and it's just like, they just probably slide in and out, in and out. Mm-hmm. Because you won't have the teeth to scrape on or anything like that. It might be a lot easier.
That sounds amazing.
Might be. Get a little rub
action.
Here,
you're thirsty? Have a drink.
I don't know. Just saying. Love to try it.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm glad that it's finally over. Because you've been complaining about having them in your face forever.
It's not over.
It is over.
It ain't fucking over.
It's over enough.
I have to wear these for the rest of my fucking life.
Well, I mean, everybody who's worn braces has to wear them for the rest of their life.
I know, but none of them do. That's why they have to go back.
You want to go back?
Nope.
Okay, mm-hmm. Then you gonna wear them, motherfuckers.
Yes, I will.
You gonna wear them? Shit. We both been in the dentist back and forth like a motherfucker, man.
Horrible.
Man, and shit, it was weird going to the dentist, too. you know, during the pandemic, mm-hmm. and taking your temperature, and they call, you have to call in before you show up, and they'll come out and get you and bring you in and sanitize you down and all this shit.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, I don't go till August, so.
Yeah, that'd be my next appointment in August. Mm-hmm. Keep your grill right, people. Especially if you're like us, we're getting older and stuff, man. You might as well at least keep your grill right as long as you can, if you're able to. Mm-hmm. If you're definitely able to. I know there's a lot of people out there right now that's out of jobs and unemployed, furloughed. It's tough times for everybody right now in one way or another.
Yeah.
But whenever you have the opportunity to get it taken care of, try to get it taken care of. I know I waited too damn long, and that's why I suffered a horrible fucking 3 weeks.
I was 40 years old with braces, really.
Hey, man, better late than never.
I know. That is true. My grill was not cute.
I didn't have a problem with your grill.
I know, because you're kind.
I'm kind. It wasn't about your grill. It's about what your grill do.
Oh, my bad. That had nothing to do with my grill, then. That's to do with my skills.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we can give you guys a little bit of a break. I know last week's episode was pretty heavy. It was definitely something that needed to be discussed with police brutality and the racism that goes on around the world. So still a definite rest in peace to George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery. You won't be forgotten. You can definitely see a shift of what's going on. Hopefully it stays on the right track towards positive changes, not only just in our communities and in our country, but around the world. It's kind of funny how some of these corporations is popping up now that was, you know, doing all this bullshit, and now all of a sudden they're down for the cause, which, okay, whatever, you know, whatever. I just hope they're not just running around thinking this is just going to be another wave of something and then it's just going to go away. Because I get the feeling that things are going to get a lot more interesting when more people start going back to work. You know, that work for these companies and work for these corporations. I do have a feeling that that may happen. So
it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
What the direction of the future is going to hold.
Yeah. And since you're listening to our podcast, the Interracial Odd Couple podcast, I know there's a lot of people out there that are probably experiencing a lot of difficult times in interracial relationships and interracial marriages right now, too, with all the tension and everything that's going on around the world right now, too.
Because it's hard.
You know, I can imagine and see, you know, the white mother with her black children and feeling lost.
Those
and
children
not really
are,
lost. But.
It's hard on those children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the white spouse, it's hard on because, and I don't mean to be this way, but this is why you look, if any of y'all look at and talk to the white spouse, you're going to see them have a little different perspective because we see racism from every single aspect, no matter if it's black, white, we see both sets of racism. And we both get, we get dealt both hands of it. We get it from the white people and we get it from the black people. So it's like, it's out there and it's rampant and it doesn't matter. Nobody sees from the heart. Nobody sees from, you know, that somebody has love, you know, for one another. They see,
for them as an individual.
They see, you took our king. You took my king. Wait. Your king? Wait. Ooh. I didn't know he was yours. I didn't know he belonged to you. You know, you belong to me. Well, you don't even belong to me, but hey, you're not theirs. You know what I mean?
I'm a king. That's right.
So it's baffling for me to be able to not be able to voice my own opinion because I am white.
But you can, and that's what you're doing right now on our platform.
Well, yes, but on the other hand, I can't in normal public settings. You can't because we're shunned on both whites and blacks. We get shunned.
It happens to us, too.
Exactly.
I hope you understand that. It's not just a white thing. It happens to...
I understand it. That's why I say...
It happens, too. Like, here's a perfect example before you continue. It's the same difference. Me being with a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'll catch shit from my brothers and sisters, just like I'll catch shit from white people.
Exactly. About
it. It's the same bullshit. It's the same, you know, closed-minded bullshit. It is. Yep. Instead of looking at the individual for who they are and loving a person for who they are. For who they are. Not what they are.
Yep.
Because people, I mean, come on, man. Nobody has a choice on who their parents are.
Nope, and that's not fair.
You know,
For you to make a child choose between a mother and a father because of their race, you're fucked up.
Especially in a situation with mixed kids.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
hello.
With mixed kids. It's hard enough for children. But in this particular climate right now, it is difficult. I'm sure it is difficult for a lot of parents that are going through this right now. It still doesn't detract from the bigger task at hand on eliminating a lot of the bullshit, a lot of the racism, a lot of the police brutality that's going on. It doesn't eliminate that. But the biggest thing is you got to be able to sit down and communicate with your spouse, communicate with your partner, especially during these very sensitive times right now. You have to be able to have that open dialogue with one another. You got to be able to discuss these things because, quite frankly, you can't expect... I would just put it this way. If a white person never grew up in the hood or in impoverished situations and seen a lot of those things, they're not going to completely understand. And that's not a knock against that person. Just like it's no different. I know a lot of brothers and I know a lot of sisters out here too. You know, they didn't grow up, you know, poor. They didn't grow up. They grew up middle class and stuff like some of that stuff they haven't experienced either. So people are going to perceive things the way that the environment that they came up in, the environment that they were raised in. They're going to perceive it a certain way. Who their parents are, what their parents have went through. Some parents worked hard to raise their children to not be in those particular situations. And they're not going to, you know, some people are not going to completely understand the Black Lives Matter situation right now either. I mean, that doesn't just specifically put it on white people. There's a lot of people that don't understand or don't really completely get it. There's a lot of people that don't because they haven't been in those situations, maybe haven't personally been affected by them, so to speak, because their parents might have worked hard or their parents might have did this to keep them out of those particular situations. Or, you know, one of the things it's a fine line, especially when you're parenting your children, is you have to coddle your children up to a certain point and only mean that as far as protecting your children. You got to protect them from a lot of the shit that goes on out here because we see it tragically all the time. We've seen, you know, the Trayvon Martins and, you know, we see these types of things happen.
I don't know how I protected and coddled my children is by teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how I did.
And the point that I'm getting to is you, at the same time, the fine line is how much do you shield your children from? How much do you shield them from being exposed to some of the things that go on in the news, some of the things that go on in your particular communities? How much do you shield them from it? Because you have to be able to discuss these things with your children, because the way things are now with social media and, well, kids ain't in school now, but with social media and stuff, they're going to go to school and they're going to hear about other kids talk about this stuff. They're going to see it on their social medias. They're going to, it's important for
accurate.
Yeah, it's important.
In what you know, you got to do your research because the media is not always true.
Right. So the media is always going to be manipulated.
You're going to have to be able to back up or know what's right and what's wrong.
What's right and wrong.
And be able to show them that.
Yep. And you got to be able to have that same thing, open dialogue, to sit back even with your children and discuss these things. I hope that parents are talking to their children right now about what's going on. I hope they are, because I get the feeling that there might be some parents out there that aren't at all and shielding them from this. And I mean, because one day your children are going to be grown. They're going to be out here in the world. They better be aware of the climate up to a certain point. They have to be.
And it goes
You can't shield them from that.
18 years goes fast.
Yeah, it does. It
goes incredibly fast.
Yep.
They may be babies still in your eyes, but they're 18 adults. It grows fast.
Right.
So your end goal is to get them to adulthood and beyond. So they are functioning, they are knowledgeable.
And great people.
And that they can hold their own. Know,
yeah, and just great all-around people that show respect to everyone. That show respect to everyone. Because that's one thing I never tolerated from the kids is like, no, you say yes, sir. You say yes, ma'am. You say thank you. Mm-hmm. Because I was always real quick. After they get handed something, like if we're somewhere eating, perfect example or whatever, somebody holds the door open, what do you say? Don't just walk in thinking you all that. Just be, no, you say thank you. Period. Mm-hmm. Show respect for your fellow people, for your fellow man. Period. Got to show respect. But other interracial couples that are going through this tough time right now, these sensitive times right now, I know there might be in some households. Now, fortunate for us, you know, we work on our communicating with each other. And there's going to be moments where things are tense. But I know there's a lot of situations out here right now where people are in interracial relationships or interracial marriages, have children, may not even have children, that there's a lot of tension in the house right now. Mm-hmm. Especially if one side of the relationship is not trying to find a common or middle ground, or both sides can't find common or middle ground to really have an open dialogue to understand why certain aspects of this is going on. Why certain aspects of this is super important, why certain aspects of this may have your spouse or your significant other really angry.
It is hard. Because don't think that I know, you know, every time he leaves the house, I worry all the fucking time. I also worry, am I going to have the same sort of backup and, you know, anger about if something happened to him just because I'm white? Or am I going to have, oh, well, she's white, so she can handle it on her own? No, I will still need backup.
And you got it. You know the hordes of people that love us. You know it. We got a whole army behind us.
We have a little one, yes.
And it ain't a little one. We got an army. We got enough people that, but that's because we're just talking about, you know, people that we know.
But I'm saying about anybody in general.
But yeah, as far as
the interracial couples in general, what if he goes out there and something happens to you? And what if I'm stuck trying to get answers, trying to fight for you, mm-hmm. but I don't have backup from either side?
You will.
Because of the fact
if
that I am
white. If something unfortunate were to happen.
And you are black.
You would. You definitely would.
I don't know.
Have you seen a lot of the protests out there? Of course you have. There's all races out there protesting the same thing. Black Lives Matter. So of course you would. I wouldn't worry about that. Because first of all, I ain't going nowhere. And if something were to happen to me, I'm on record right now saying I didn't do it.
Oh, I know you didn't.
I didn't do shit. And do nothing. But it's tough for some individuals out here right now in their respective relationships. And it doesn't have to just be interracial couples. Of course not. Everybody comes from different walks of life, mm-hmm. different ways of being raised, regardless of your race, regardless of your gender, that may not just mm-hmm. see eye to eye on certain things. There's a lot of couples even out there, too. I mean, they don't see the same political views under the same roof.
And that's okay. It's okay to have opinions. Google is full of opinions. So it's fucking okay to have opinion.
Yeah.
But respect other people's opinion. Because I'm pretty sure they'll respect yours.
You got to be able to do it. Because, I mean, that's part of it.
That's just showing, you know, that you are open-minded. You're polite. Fighting over an opinion is just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it depends on if the opinion is an asshole opinion.
That's a troll.
Or a racist opinion.
That's
or
a troll.
That's different. But, yes, opinions in general, you should want the narrative being challenged all the time.
I'm sorry. If somebody's sitting there saying asinine shit, I'm sorry. I'm going to pray for you.
I'm just doing them out. No.
I hope that
I don't even pray for them.
That you will come to your senses at some point, and you will have a better sense of life.
Yeah.
may God be with you somehow.
You better than me.
And then leave it.
You better than me, because I'm quick to be like, man, I ain't trying to hear that shit, man. Fuck that. Whatever.
But then you're going to go into a whole bunch of other shit that's just fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And ruin a day for no reason.
Right. Just because you're going down a rabbit hole of comments on Twitter.
Exactly.
And, you know, Facebook or whatever, of just a bunch of ignorant comments and people saying ignorant trolling ass shit or blatant racist shit and all that. Man, I don't get sucked into all of that stuff. I don't have time for it.
No.
I'm busy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to fall into that ignorant shit. One thing I told you about, too. Oh, and before I get to that point. Yeah, you're going to have differences of opinion in your home. Everybody's individually different. Everybody was raised different. Mm-hmm. I've always told you, if you and I were exactly the same, we would drive each other fucking crazy. I don't need you acting like me.
We already drive each other nuts. Why are you even mad? The same shit, too.
It's like I tell you that Eminem line all the time. Leave me alone, bitch. I get on my own nerves. And that's part of why this podcast is successful, is because we have a lot of interests. We've been together for 11 years, but we're a lot different, too.
Yep.
Beyond our skin tones.
We do all sorts of funny things by ourselves.
Yeah, man. Y'all have no idea. I did tell you the other day that I did attribute a lot of me being open and cool with most people.
Mm-hmm, to your dad.
To my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one distinct story. We were playing basketball in the driveway. I must have been maybe in the seventh grade, somewhere around there, like middle school age.
Mm-hmm.
And we were playing basketball in the driveway. And we were talking about different basketball players. And I can't remember which basketball player we were talking about. It might have been Jason Williams, White Chocolate. It might have been him. I can't remember for sure. But I remember saying something about, oh, yeah, man, that white boy can hoop. That white boy can play. My dad looked at me with that dad look. Damn near hit me in the mouth. He said, don't ever say no bullshit like that. And I looked at him kind of confused, like, what did I say wrong? He was like, it ain't got nothing to do with him being a white boy or none of that shit. I don't want you saying none of that bullshit. And I was like, damn, all right. Didn't say it again until I was 18, but... Of course, it ain't like that now, mm-hmm. but he was teaching me valuable lessons even then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Of just respect people. Like a person for who they are.
Right.
If you don't like that person, then don't like that person. Has nothing to do with their whole race. Has nothing to do with their whole nationality, their gender, or nothing. Because I'm an individual. I'm the type of person. If I don't like you individually, it ain't got nothing to do about where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
Or none of that shit. I just don't fuck with you.
Yep.
I just don't fuck with you. And that goes all across the board. Just like I'm sure there's people that don't fuck with me. I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I pay my bills. I put my food on the table. None of y'all do. So why the fuck would I give a fuck at the end of the day? But I do attribute my perspective from my father, because... he's always kept a huge, diverse group of friends around him.
Right.
From all over, all spectrums of life, all walks of life. He's always had that influence around me, you know, as a child coming up. He's always had different people around him from all over the place. Rich, poor, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't matter. And of course, you know, naturally, you know, with some of my dad's teachings and some of his guidance and basically leading by example more than what he actually, because he didn't have to say a whole lot. It was just leading by example that I sat back and was like, you know what? He's right. And then thinking about it, you know, of course, in hindsight, being an older man now, I mean, that was really important. And I appreciate my dad for doing that,
right.
For being that way with me.
See, my parents were not that way.
Well, it's obvious now,
but
because your dad still makes some interesting comments that I don't want to talk about.
Right.
But
that's why that's why I am the way I am today, is because everything that they did teach me, I did the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
how I raised my kids, I did the opposite. And my dad, he'll sit there and say, you taught them exactly how, when they got in trouble, you whooped them, just like I did. I said, no. I whooped them because they got in trouble. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
Because of doing something wrong.
Exactly. I mean, that I whooped them because they need discipline. Mm-hmm. I'm going to instill that in them. When they get wrong, they get punished, period.
Right.
I don't give a shit if that's what you did, because that's really not what you did.
Right.
I think you whipped because you liked it.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, you know, that made it their life choice and their life path, because everybody comes to that fork in the road at some point in their lives of, are you going to keep blaming your upbringing? You're going to keep blaming your parents for why your life ain't going the way you want it to go? And eventually you got to grow up and move on past that shit. And I've had to do some of that too. Like everybody does at some point. Everybody has that fork in the road, you know? I mean, nobody's a perfect set of parents. Nobody's a perfect mother. Nobody's the perfect father. Nobody is.
Nope.
But
you have to choose to strive to always want to be better, do better.
It was like, oh, well, I see my dad fuck up doing that. I don't want to do that. Or
I'm not good. My kids still fuck up. And I'm like, are you fucking idiots?
We all still fuck up.
We still fuck up. And I'm like, are we fucking idiots? Oh, my God. Who thought of that?
Yeah.
He did.
But a lot of that has to be, and it goes back to what we were talking about last week. A lot of it starts at home.
It does.
It starts at home.
It starts
at... And it's leading by example more than your words. Exactly. Your actions speak. I know it's all cliche sayings and bumper stickers.
But what did I say last week? Do you never, never, ever, ever say, don't do as I say, don't do as I do. Hello? That's stupid.
Yeah.
And I know you are out there saying that. I know you people are.
It was just a catchphrase, especially for our parents' generation. Yeah, it was just a catchphrase. Don't do as I say, do as I do. Yeah,
Right? Call your friends. Hey, I got the same thing you're going to do.
And you wonder why? And you wonder why a bunch of us are sitting back as addicts, smoke addicts, alcoholics.
Yeah, we're smoking weed at fucking 12 and 14 because, hey, you're smoking weed at 12 and 14, but I can't because you say, do as I do, not as I say.
Yeah.
Do as I say, not as I do, whatever the fuck. And I'm like, okay.
Mom has 7 kids. So do I. What you think was going to happen?
You say that, but you don't tell me what not to do to have that happen.
Right.
And that was my mother's fault. That
it was just a lot of the discipline and not explaining.
Exactly.
And not explaining why you're in trouble.
You know, just like if you're not there, you know, from day one saying, you know, you have sex, you have a kid. You do something bad and you get caught, you have a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not doing that from day one, then
not instilling it in them,
it's not going to register, and they don't care.
And then you expect them to magically, once they turn 18 or magically when they turn 21, they're supposed to just automatically get it. It doesn't work that way.
My mother, on the hand, she hid everything, right down to me starting a period.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go to her. I didn't know what the fuck was happening to me, and I was 16.
Yeah,
I'm like, I had to go to my best friend, my neighbor, my best friend. I was like, what the fuck is this? Oh, my God.
That has to be embarrassing.
I use toilet paper.
Yeah, that has to be embarrassing.
No shit. Because my mother never talked. Nobody never talked about sex. Nobody never talked about shit. That's why I got knocked up at
tampons,
17.
All that stuff. Yeah, that's why a year later, you got knocked up.
Technically.
While in high school.
But technically, I only had that first period. I never had a period after that. So I didn't fucking know anyways. But that's the point.
Yeah.
It was the point that, you know, if you're not talking to your kids and telling them and saying, hey, you know, you got boobies happening. So once these boobies happen, this is going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know,
this is what you're going to have to start wearing. This is what you can't do.
The boys starting having a smell to them. Okay, you know what's going to happen after that smell.
For the pheromones.
Those pheromone smells. When they go outside and come back in, and it's starting to get stronger and stronger and stronger, they're going to start getting a little pecker going on. You're going to have to talk about these things.
Yeah, but you do.
Or the little boy ends up jacking off on your couch in your mother's house and gets caught.
Or in
That's
socks.
That's what happens.
In socks. Mom hated doing the laundry
so
while
then,
they was in high school.
You're calling babe saying, yeah, Caleb got caught. You want to talk to him about it?
I wouldn't even go bring that up.
It's just
But you
got to
have these, you got to have these conversations with your kids, man. Don't expect them to just magically know once they hit a certain age what to do. Because that's not how it works, man.
By the way, after Caleb got caught for Christmas, he did get a little soap dispenser.
Yeah, we got a soap dispenser for him for his Christmas gift. It's a lotion dispenser.
Oh, we died.
I told him, I said, man, Jergens. Or put the baby oil in the microwave for like 5 seconds. Take it out. He was like, oh my God. You got to have fun with your kids too and make it lighthearted, because you don't want them to be embarrassed to the point where
they don't
you could break their
about
spirit
it.
And they don't want to communicate with you about what's going on in their lives. Because, you know, especially during their teenage stages, there's a lot of changes going on.
And
mentally, physically, emotionally, you know, you got to be able to communicate and talk to you, especially if you have a daughter. Jesus.
And don't think beat downs are not a bad thing.
Yeah, it
They're
happens
not
every
a
now
bad
and then.
Thing.
Just like when
Do
our
a
daughter,
beat down.
Just like when our daughter came to me and when she told me when she lost her virginity and told me that she was having sex,
I beat her down.
Yeah, she told me before mom, and then wanted to have the nerve to try to play that game. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. Well, don't tell mom. I was like, I'm not catching no beat down with you.
Then want to try to act grown and buck up to
and
me.
And then I said, watch this. I ain't even got to say anything.
No. Nope.
As soon as you walked in the house,
Everybody
I was like, you
give me that
you,
look.
You know
and
why?
I already
no,
knew.
I wasn't giving you no look. I said, you know why she acting like this? And then she wanted to try to buck up to mama and realize you had your mama fucked up. Got that ass whooped.
So a couple slam dunks. And running around the house and pulling the hair is okay.
Don't let Gina fool you. She had that girl by her hair. Her feet was in the air and body slammed her by her hair.
Yeah.
I was like, that's some impressive technique right there. You know, my martial art background. I'm like, that's impressive. Shit, get her, mom. Shit.
Show who's boss all the time.
But
I didn't hurt her.
No, but if you want, no, and plus,
she
was starting to get there because she was thinking she was going to try to, I was like, no, that's enough. I said, you ain't ready for that grown woman ass whooping. You don't know what that's like.
No.
That's but what I call that dad ass whooping, that grown man strength. Mm-hmm. Like, boy, you still a little light in the ass. You don't want none of this.
But it's the point that you have to... Also, after those moments, you have to sit down and say, look, you have to come to me.
Once the dust clears and the radiation clears.
I have never left. I have never disappointed. And I have never steered you wrong.
Yep.
And I can prove that time and time again. And that's what you are there for. And you'll still beat them down again.
Yeah.
If they get out of line.
Yep.
And I've told them that from the day one. I'll put you back where you came from if you fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every once in a while they'll throw that back at me. Yeah, put me back where I came from. I'm done.
Yeah, that's like, awkward. No.
No.
But, I mean, it does start at home. You have to communicate with your children. And I know we were cracking jokes and got a little serious about some of this. But the main thing is, especially during this climate right now, talk to your children. About why these things are happening. Not what your opinion is.
Nope.
Why it's happening. These are important conversations that you have to have with your family.
Give them the history. Give them that 400-year-old history. Give them everybody's perspective and everybody's history. Not just one part of it. Mm-hmm. Give them all the parts of it.
Well, that's the public schools for you.
No, it's not. No.
They negate a lot of information out of historical books. They do. And
they
school.
Pick and choose what you need to learn. That is wrong.
Right. We're saying the same thing.
You need to learn every aspect, and you need to be able to teach every aspect, or they're not going to get the full picture.
Yep. And plus, you want to create that interest in them at the same time, too, to educate themselves beyond just going to school or beyond just speaking to your parents. You want to have that driving motivation to educate yourself, too. And the biggest thing is you want your children to be better than you. Mm-hmm. All parents have bad habits.
Yep.
All of us have bad habits.
And those bad habits go through those to those kids.
Yep.
And that's where things need to either change or they need to stop.
Right.
I mean, some bad habits aren't that bad. I mean, like, my kids get grumpy when they get hungry because I get grumpy when I get hungry. So, I mean, like, yeah, that's unavoidable.
It's not what I'm talking about. But.
But we're talking about the serious shit. Yeah.
Well,
that's a serious shit.
Okay.
All of it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just make it a point to hopefully you're sitting down and you're talking with your families about these sensitive matters right now. Make it a point to do so. You may not see eye to eye. Doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Doesn't mean that. But you want to have these open lines of communication with your family and your children right now. More than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, more than ever.
Maybe you might learn some stuff in the process.
Yep. And you know what? I feel like a lot of these kids, believe it or not, are teaching the older people lessons that they didn't realize they needed to learn, too. A lot of the kids are doing that right now by their peaceful protests and demonstrations and the rioting and stuff that's been happening.
They do. We've had a couple.
The kids are...
We've had two here so far. In our little town, and it's been done by the local high school students.
It's the kids.
Put it on.
Yep.
And they did. They started at one point. They had their little speeches, and then they walked down to the park, and then they commenced with a prayer, and then that was it.
Yeah.
And then that's what they did. And I think that's absolutely terrific. Right. And even in our big town, we've had several very, very good protests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first couple nights were pretty bad because of the young bad ones. Because they were throwing shit and looting and shooting and doing stupid shit. But then that commenced really quickly. So then it went on to just nice, peaceful stuff. And then the community trying to get together and trying to do what's right.
Hey, newsflash, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, newsflash. Our opinions don't matter.
No, they're like everybody's assholes. They're there.
I get what you were trying to say there.
I was trying to say something.
Opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one and they all stink. Yeah.
Yeah. Including mine.
Newsflash. Our opinions don't matter. Our actions do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our actions do. It ain't about us. It's about our children. It's about our grandchildren. It's about the young people.
Making a better future.
Yeah.
It's not about them. It's always been about the future. Striving to make a better future. I mean, that's the whole reason why
I hope our kids have a lot better world. Our grandkids and stuff have a way better world than we, you know.
That's why I can't wait. I mean,
human history.
I can wait for grandkids because I'm still not ready. I'm still planning and preparing. So, that's why I do want my grandchildren to be able to know nature, know plants, know how to
take care of yourself, grow,
take
your
care
food,
of themselves,
all the stuff, yeah,
on their own instead of having to go seek medicine elsewhere when they have medicine all around them,
yeah,
or you know, be able to
just
help
relying on
the
a lot
community.
Of the relying on a lot of the conveniences that we take advantage of, especially here in the United States.
Right. I want them to be able to help the community and give back to the community versus taking from the community and just sucking the life out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait.
We ain't going to have no problems with that. Our grandkids is going to have some badass grandparents.
Yeah, they are.
They going to love the fuck out of us. They going to want to move in. Like, wait, well, hold up.
I know they might have to because none of the kids want their kids to go to school. They want them to be homeschooled. And who's going to have to homeschool them? That would be me. And I'm like, oh, dear.
They're going to be interesting if you homeschool.
Right? They are going to be some fucking badass, retarded, genius kids.
Hey, hey, hey. Way to go, Grandma. I mean, Meemaw.
Right? Meemaw and Papaw. We got this.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode this week. We appreciate every single last one of you guys that check us out. Follow us on our social medias at Interracial Odd Couple Podcast, _ in between each word on Instagram. We're on Twitter at ILC Podcast. We have a Facebook group called the Cypher Omni Network. I might be changing that name soon. I might be changing that. I haven't decided yet. We also have a Cash App. That's at Interracial Odd Couple. Email us at interracialoddcouple@gmail.com. Any parting words you want to leave everybody with going into this weekend, next week?
Listen to your gut. If it's going crazy, just back out of a situation. Or, you know, if you're feeling good, then go meditate some more. I don't know. Take in some nature.
Take in some nature. Just make sure you have your masks on.
Yeah. I guess that's still running rampant, too.
Yeah.
So, everybody just be careful. Think positive.
Fuck the opinions.
Yeah.
Fuck the opinions. It's about solutions to the problems. It's all about the solutions right now.
You start with yourself first.
Yep. I always look in the mirror first.
Because you're important.
Yep. But it's all about results. It's about solutions. Right now, we're looking for solutions.
And baby steps. One thing at a time.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thanks once again, everybody. We appreciate you listening. And we will be back next week.
Yeah. Bye.
Deuces.